This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com and also by Designer Supplements.
I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Berardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
I'm Eric Cressy.
Can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show, just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 44. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and with me this week is, nope, not John Williams. John couldn't make it this week, or Keith Scott, but I was able to get someone to fill in, and his name's Mike Robertson. You might know him from the DVDs like Inside Out, Magnificent Mobility. He has a new Bulletproof Knee Manual coming out, Building the Efficient Athlete DVD series with Eric Cressy, his hundreds of articles, it seems like, on T-Nation. And Mike, just welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Kevin. It's always good to be on here and hang out. I'm pumped. I got to see the list of topics for this week, and I think it's going to be a really good show, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we have a great show for everyone out there. We're going to start off with just some of those FitCast topics real quickly. We're going to jump into the news. We have a couple stories this week, some that seem to be really, I mean, in the news. People are talking about that whole T-Nation situation, so we're going to talk about that. And also, of course, we have some questions for Mike to answer, so it's really a full show for everyone out there.
Awesome.
So let's just start off with the FitCast topics. First thing, the 300 FitCast challenge is on. I have posted on thefitcast.com all the rules and the regulations, all that stuff is up there on thefitcast.com, and you can start posting on the forum. For prizes, we're going to be giving away, I think it's 10 t-shirts. So pretty much if you enter this contest, you're going to get a t-shirt more or less. If you place within the top, one person randomly is going to win a FitCast sweatshirt, which, if you've seen the picture online, they're pretty fashionable. And also, one person is also going to win a one-year FitCast Insider subscription, which is valued at more or less $100. So it's a pretty good deal for everyone out there if you just want to join in and see if you can attack this challenge that we got
going.
Hey,
Kev.
Yeah.
I'll throw in, to give you two more prizes, I'll throw in a free copy of Magnificent Mobility and a free copy of Inside Out as well, the DVDs. So. That'll help you out and give you a little something else to get people motivated to train hard. So
absolutely, guys. I mean, that's two great prizes right there, and we're going to have a great set of stuff for you. So head up to thefitcast.com and also thefitcast.com/forum, where you're going to be posting all your results and tracking your progress, all the things like that. And again, we're working on the honor system for this FitCast challenge, so just be honest with your results and you're probably going to get a prize more or less either way. So make sure to check those out. And just along that, I've been blogging a lot more lately. I've been getting the blogging bug. I don't know if it's it seems like everyone's getting it. And I just started blogging more on thefitcast.com. So I had some posts about why America is so fat. Just a couple funny pictures that people can check out. Just a guy who is walking his dog while driving his car, basically having the dog outside the car while he drives him. And some escalators heading up to a 24-hour fitness, which if you're going to work out, you definitely need those escalators.
That's right. You wouldn't want to expend any more calories than absolutely necessary, right?
Oh, that's what I was saying. And people on the forums are on another website's forums actually saying, you know what, after a big leg day, I probably would need those escalators. And I mean, if you can't walk after you do your legs, you might be doing something wrong.
Might be doing a little bit too much volume.
A little bit too much, yeah. So make sure to check all that out. I'm pretty much blogging daily, so whether it's about some people in America, so just some pictures of them, or I don't know what else I blogged about, some things I just talked about with Mike coming on, and just there'll be a ton of news and a ton of insight on there. And I'm also going to blog a little bit about actually getting into the fitness field and getting through all the classes you have to in school, the good, the bad, and the ugly pretty much of college life when you're going into the fitness industry. So make sure to check that out. I promise to update it daily, and I'm getting into it for some reason. I don't know why, but
it's fun, man. It's fun to there's tons of stuff, and there's not like a set structure. It's not like a newsletter, you know. Yeah. You can really kind of freestyle, and you know, a lot of great stuff pops into your head even just as you're having a discussion or reading the newspaper. So
absolutely,
you can come up with some pretty cool topics. And like I said, it's just a little bit more freestyle, a little bit more free flowing, and you know, you can really use it as a nice way to leverage your thoughts and kind of your ideas to people that are interested. So
definitely, that's where it's kind of got my motivation, is just from reading blogs like yours, Mike, and also Jimmy Smith has a blog. I mean, Eric has a blog. Everyone has a blog, pretty much, more or less.
Yeah.
So
yes,
I'll have links for all those blogs. I'm going to be setting up a list of just blogs on the website and just a bunch of links, which I've been meaning to get to. So make sure to check those out as well. Moving on, I'm going to have a Bill Hartman Insider interview up on the FitCastInsider.com and on the Insider Store, so make sure to check that out. Basically, we just covered a ton of thoughts that Bill has on improving your body, whether it be posture, just things you can do every day to improve your posture, your physical fitness levels, and things like that, so that'll be something you can check out. As always, it's going to be $4.99 for people who aren't part of the Insider. And if you've ever heard Bill Hartman before, it's, you know, you're going to be getting your money's worth for that $4.99. Yeah. So make sure.
Smartest man in fitness.
Yeah, that guy's he's crazy. He's like an encyclopedia, and I always love listening to him.
Yep.
Moving on, this is somewhat big news, but next week is our 1 year anniversary for the FitCast, which, I mean, believe it or not, it feels like we've only been doing this for a couple months, but it's been a year, and we'll be doing the 45th episode, and I've been promising some big-name guests, and I did say guests, plural, so we're going to be having a couple of guests on to help celebrate this one-year anniversary. I can't promise that John will be with me because of scheduling conflicts. I mean, it's really hard to get two people together. Just think about getting four people together. So I'm going to do my best. We're going to have that show up for you next week. You will probably be getting a newsletter, or you'll see it up on the fitcast.com who those guests will be by Monday or Tuesday, so I can get you so you can submit listener questions, because I'm sure with these guys that we're going to have on, you're going to be wanting to ask some questions. I promise you that. So make sure to check that out. And for the one-year anniversary, I might be doing some fun contests, might be doing something on the show, so episode 45 will probably be the greatest episode we ever do, and just make sure to check that out next week. And other than that, we're wrapped up for the FitCast topic, so let's jump into the news. All right, our first story this week is actually an announcement. The Lift Strong CD-ROM is now available. Mike, do you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, for those of you that aren't familiar with the whole Lift Strong concept, basically it's a project that Alan Cosgrove came up with, and the whole idea behind it was to get a whole bunch of amazing fitness professionals, you know, strength trainers, dietitians, anybody that's into the field to contribute to this massive project, and we were going to take all of the proceeds and put it towards cancer research. If you know anything about Alan, I mean, he's quite possibly just one of the most amazing individuals you'll ever meet, beyond just being a great strength coach. And Alan's beat cancer twice now. And so, you know, when somebody like that and that kind of power and presence comes to you and asks you to contribute to a project, you know, obviously you are more than willing to help him out. So when he started off, he had this idea, you know, yeah, I'm going to make it into like a manual and send it out. Well, I mean, he got so many authors and so much information, it spiraled into this huge 800-page project. So now it's a CD-ROM. You can purchase it online at www.liftstrong.com. And again, all the proceeds are going to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So it's just a great project, whether you have ever dealt with somebody that's had cancer, or you know somebody that's had cancer, or you yourself maybe have had cancer. Just the $25 that it costs is just such a great deal. I mean, not only do you get a ton of great information, I mean, 800 pages of information, but you're helping it, you're putting it towards a great cause. So it's one of those things where I personally, and I've got a huge article I've written about for my newsletter that I'm going to send out. But I personally lost 3 members of my family to cancer. So this was kind of my way to get involved and give something back. And I went ahead and purchased a copy, too. You know, when I get back from vacation, I'm going to buy a couple more and give them to some friends. But it's just one of those little things, you know. People kind of get overwhelmed and think, well, what can I do to help out? And it's just one of those little things, you know, $25 that's going to really make a difference. And our goal is to make $1 million. So when we figured it all out, I think that ended up being about 50,000 copies of this CD-ROM. If we could hit that number, that would just be outstanding. And it's kind of our ways, the strength training community, to kind of give back, because the endurance community has done this for years. So when Alan talks about this at some point in time, you know, you really got to hear his side of the story, because he tells it much better than I do. But it's just one of those little things. If you can pick up a copy, you know, it's really going to go a long way. And, you know, it'd be really cool to see 50,000 people from the fitness and strength training community come together to support this cause. So that's about all I have on that. Check it out, www.liftstrong.com.
Yeah, the best part about it is if you look at the lineup of authors, like Mike said, it's truly amazing Alan got all these guys together. And something special is that you get James Smith, Jim Smitty Smith, and Jimmy Smith all on the same CD.
How cool is that to get those three guys in one area at one
all
time?
All the more or less the Jimmy Smiths of, or Jim, however you want to say it. I mean, I thought it was great that the guys went on. I mean, John Berardi, Keith Scott, that's been on the show, Mike Roussel, who's on, I'm forgetting the name of his podcast. It's Muscle and Cuts, or that's his website.
Yeah, that sounds right. Or Max Muscle.
Max Out Radio. That's what it is.
Okay. Max Out Radio. That's
and
it.
It's just something everyone should pick up. I mean, I remember going to multiple seminars that I've seen Alan at, and he's shown slides of people spending hundreds of millions of dollars on fitness products. And you're not going to spend a better $25 this year than you would on this CD. So everyone really has to pick up a copy or two, like Mike said, and give it to a friend, give it to someone who might just be getting into the whole fitness world. This would be a great break-in for them. I mean, if they get 800 pages worth of material, just have them, you know, take a vacation from work for a week and just read, and they will have a nice little advantage over everyone else. So
that's exactly right. I mean, $25, I mean, that's nothing. You spend that on dinner out with your lady, or, you know, a cheap night at the bar. I mean, it's $25. So, you know, if you guys got it and you can afford it, definitely, you know, help us out. And the more money that we can make, the more we're going to be able to give back to the research. And that's, I think Alan said it best. I think he said we've spent more money on funding the Iraq war that we're in right now than we have in 35 years of cancer research.
It's amazing.
And that's just astounding to me. So, you know, we can't affect where our government puts our money, but we can affect where we put our money. So if you guys, you know, help out, that would be huge. And, you know, the more money we can make, the better things are going to be. So.
Absolutely. And again, the website is www.liftstrong.com, and if you can't find that, I'll also have a link for it up in the show notes, so you have no choice but to go to the website, at least check it out, and obviously, if you can, please buy a copy. The next story that we have coming up is coming from T-Nation, and we're going to be talking about the whole, I don't know if it's really a controversy, it's probably something that's a long time coming, but TC over at T-Nation has an article in his Atomic Dog series called Tonight We Dine in Hell. And more or less, this is about kind of changing the T-Nation.com website to reduce the amount of trolls. He's almost going as far as taking away the forums completely, just having the articles themselves and no comments under them. And it seems like most people are excited about this, and they agree with TC because, I mean, if you have looked in some articles with a good example that someone, I think Keith talked about this, but a good example was the Can't Prove It article when Mike Boyle made some statements, and people were saying, it was about squats, and people were saying, oh, this is like bullshit. I mean, the guy's too skinny. What does he know about squats? He weighs 160. And people just don't get it. And the people making these comments are 16 years old. I mean, they're in their parents' basement. They may or may not be able to grow facial hair yet. And more or less, they're just researching articles to get really ripped abs and all those great things. And huge guns. You got to have the huge guns. It seems like, again, people are, most of the people at T Nation at least are agreeing with what TC is saying, but I just wish they could still have the comments after, but just heavily, heavily moderate the comments, because they already do moderate the comments at T Nation, but just if it's not relevant to the conversation, just don't let people post it, because there's so many just little 16, 18 year old know-it-alls on, not, this isn't T Nation, this is forums all over the internet, just think they know everything. And I'm happy to see this happen, more or less.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. You know, I talked to TC about this earlier in the week, because I'd basically gotten to a point after articles where, you know, I was getting tired of answering the questions, you know, so I guess I'm going to kind of give you guys an author's perspective on this, because there's some certain things when they started introducing the discussion after articles where I thought, wow, this could be a really, really cool idea. You know, we can interact more with the people, we can clarify our comments or our viewpoints. So, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, an article and the limited amount of knowledge you can disseminate in 5,000 words or whatever it is. And so sometimes it allows you to fill in the gaps and plug the holes so that people really understand what you're saying and what you're getting at. But some of the problems that have arisen from that, you know, first off, you know, I think a lot of people have this tendency to think that when somebody comments after a article, that person has an equivalent level of knowledge as the author. So they're almost put on the same level as an author. And so something that we take a week or 2 months to write up, this person can destroy in, you know, 200 keystrokes. So they come on and they kind of spout off, and they might not understand or have the same kind of viewpoint, and so they're going to tear into the author and say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And so, you know, that's one of the issues. Another one that you'll see a lot more is what I call like pimping and promoting. So people are going to use the article threads to come on and pimp themselves or promote their products or their systems. And if you follow some of the authors, I mean, these are recurring things where the same people are coming on and harassing them, or the same people are coming on and, you know, pimping themselves or pimping their products. It would be like every time somebody wrote an article, I came on as a user and said, yeah, this article's great, but if you had Magnificent Mobility, you'd be like 20 times better, you know? It's just kind of annoying. So that's another issue. But, you know, the thing that really gets me are, you know, if you look at my last article, the Hips Don't Lie article, I answered probably 50 questions before I stopped answering on the thread. And the thing that was getting annoying was people either, A, hadn't read the entire article, or B, hadn't read the entire discussion thread, and kept asking the same questions over and over. Like, if you're not willing to put the time in to read the whole article or read the entire discussion thread and see if it's already been answered, I'm not going to answer your questions, you know? And that's just kind of the stance that you have to take after a while. I mean, I would love to help every single person out. I kind of view the discussion after the thread as part of my payment. You know, TMAG pays us very well to write for them, but, you know, I kind of view that as something where if you pay me to write an article, you're also kind of paying me to sign on to help out afterwards. But there comes a point where it's like, enough's enough. You can only answer the same question 20 times before you're tired of answering it. But it comes down to anything, you know, it's kind of the 80-20 rule. 20% of the people are the problem, and they're going to ruin it for the other 80%. You know, the 80% that are interested in the content and have great questions, it's the 20% that are going to be the underlying issue. So, you know, I'll be interested to see what they end up doing with it. I would hope that the idea that I like the best is turning it into more of a Q&A after the discussion thread, so, or instead of the discussion thread. So if Kevin Larrabee writes a comment, I can see the comment, I can see the question, I can accept it, I can write a response, and then I can just post it all at once. If they can do something like that, then I think that would be a viable option. But I think TC is absolutely right. The discussion threads have just spiraled out of control, and, you know, the forums, we know anything past the author's locker room is fair game if you're a troll. So, you know, you do what you can with it, but I think he's got some good ideas, and I'll be interested to see what happens with it in the next couple
absolutely
of
months. And he also mentioned in the article that What was I going to say? He mentioned in the article that the site isn't too open to new users. It seems like it's not a very friendly site for new people, because it seems like everyone who just jumps into their forum and asks a question, they just get slammed by people saying, "Oh, just lift hard, just lift heavy, and eat a lot, and you'll be good." And
right.
Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it's just the total atmosphere of the site. You know, I mean, that's one thing that originally attracted me to JP's site. You know, it's just a good site. The people on there are good natured. They want to help people out. Whereas, you know, there are people like that on TMAG, but you know, it seems like the 20% are the ones with the loudest voices and get the most into the peacocking. You know, like, oh, you need to do this, this, and this. You need to squat, do 20 reps of squats, drink milk. You know, I mean, we all know that guy. You know that, but. I mean, it'll just be interesting to see what happens in the next couple months and how the site evolves, because, you know, those guys are smart. Every time they make a big move, it seems like they make the site better. So it's constant evolution, and they seem to be doing a good job, so I'll be interested to see what they do.
Yeah, T-Nation is a great site. I mean, they've always have great articles. They, a lot of times, do have great discussions, and, I mean, they are a supplement company, and they make good stuff. So, I mean, you can't really complain right there, so... We'll let that be for now, and we'll just see how it evolves in the future, and we'll probably end up covering it maybe 10 episodes from now. We'll see what happens.
Sure.
Our next story comes from our good friends at McDonald's, and, I mean, if they haven't been everyone's favorite since they were a child, I don't know who is. Maybe Wendy's. I don't know. But anyways, everyone who's listened to this show, I bet probably 80% of our listeners have had a McDonald's Chicken McNugget in their lifetime. And just think about this. If I say I have this crazy story about Chicken McNuggets, there's some crazy ingredient in it, what would you probably guess? I mean, the answer you'd probably never guess. And
I would guess there would be some chicken in it, just personally.
You're close, but actually McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are 56% corn. Not chicken. So you're actually getting more corn than chicken. So if that's what you're having for your cheat meal on the weekend, don't expect too much protein out of that chicken. But...
yeah, we were talking about, you know, the 9-packs, the 20-packs, you know, honey mustard, barbecue sauce, whatever. Man.
Oh, it's all about the sweet and sour sauce. I mean, I could give you some really bad stories about when I was 205 pounds, just, I mean, two crispy chicken sandwiches just... covered in, it was heaven, and
slathered in mayo and cheese and all that good stuff. You know, the more fat,
it was
great. The
better. And again, just jump back to the story. You're not going to believe what's in this, but butane. There's butane in your chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, it's one of, actually, I think it says 38 different ingredients. I mean, how can you put 38 different ingredients into something that's...
Well, I thought it was chicken, you know, maybe some flour, maybe a little bit of butter to get keep that flour on there, then you just throw it in the fryer and that's it. I guess not.
Right. Yeah, well... yeah, but I mean, when you hear butane, that's a solid ingredient, you know? That's something that I want in my food. And it says it can actually be sprayed directly onto the nugget, or it can actually be sprayed into the box for preserving. Did you list side effects?
Oh, I did. I didn't check out the side effects, but
okay.
Great.
Okay, I got them right here. And if you ingest more than a single gram of this, the TVHQ, which is that stuff you make that's made out of butane, nausea, vomiting, ringing in the ears, delirium, a sense of suffocation, and collapse. Now, if you ingest 5 grams of TVHQ, though, can kill you.
So you should probably lay off the 20 packs.
All right. Yeah.
If you have to. But one thing that's great is that this is okay with the FDA. The FDA allows 0.02% of the butane to be in a nugget. So. Yeah, I mean, it's. Yeah, they got our backs. So I'm all right with this. And I don't know. I'm kind of hungry. Maybe after the show, I think I might go down to McDonald's, see if I can cause myself to, you know, have some ringing in my ears or
that's right.
some suffocation.
I'll stick with Chipotle. Yeah, I'll stick with Chipotle and
Yeah, for the same price, you can probably go get a pound of, you know, like buffalo meat, which is fantastic if you haven't tried it. Check, it's all, I found it in my Shaw's, my local grocery store, and I've been all about the buffalo meat lately. I just can't get enough of it ever since I tried it in Denver, so.
Yeah, it's good stuff. We actually have a, do you have Ted's Montana Grill there?
The restaurant?
Yeah.
No.
It's actually owned by Ted Turner, because I can see Ted Turner, because he's owned like half, like four states out west.
Those are in Denver, though. That's where I went there with John Williams when I went to meet him.
Oh, they've got great buffalo meat as far as like buffalo burgers there.
That's what I got.
Burgers there. Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Oh, fantastic. It was amazing.
Yeah, so if you haven't been to one of those, yeah. I'll pin it to the Turner's Ted's Montana Grill. It's that buffalo meat. Excellent for you. It's got a lot more essential fatty acids. So, good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, for everyone out there who is just sick to their stomachs right now about Chicken McNuggets, don't worry. We're leaving the news behind, and let's jump into the Q&A right away. First off, Mike, I got a couple of questions about your bulletproof knee manual, so I kind of put it all into one question. So I just wanted to ask, can you talk about what is included in your Bulletproof Knee manual that's coming out?
Absolutely. What Bulletproof Knees is basically the culmination of the last several years of my life experimenting with, you know, I'll say the word rehabilitation or corrective exercises for knees. Everybody that knows me knows I had I tore my meniscus a couple years ago skiing, did the whole deal, still did a meet. Had surgery, been coming back from it, so it's been a real learning experience for me. But part of the problem was I never felt like I got good answers along the way, or I never got like a cut and dry, black and white, this is what's going on, this is what you need to do to fix it. And so I was going along, you know, digging into the research journals and digging into the textbooks and all this other stuff. I just basically started compiling all this information and formulated my own philosophy as far as the best way to develop healthy knees. And so that's what the Bulletproof Knee Manual is. Whether it's somebody that just has some general localized knee pain that they need to get checked out, or they have like a post-rehab type deal. So say somebody that's had an ACL surgery done, and they've gone through the physical therapy, and they've gotten cleared, and they've gotten checked out of that, but they haven't had a chance yet to really get themselves back to 100%. Whether they're an athlete, they're not back on the field yet, or if they're a power lifter or a weight trainer, they're not back up to their normal poundages. This is kind of that missing step, I think, to get you from more of a rehabilitative or corrective exercise standpoint back to 100%. And with the manual, I outline it all, everything that I think is important, whether it's strength training, mobility training, improving tissue length, tissue quality. One of the things that I think not enough people address is, you know, improving athletic performance, because, you know, there's a big difference between squatting a couple hundred pounds and going out and trying to sprint at 110% or jump at 110% or even just plant and cut. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try and do. I try and fill in the gaps and give people the tools to fix their own knees. You know, it's geared towards fitness professionals. I'm not going to lie. It's not it's technical. You know, and I put the science in there because I think people want to know that. You know, I think that's why my articles have been so well received, because I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff or, you know, put the whipped cream on top. It's the meat and potatoes that you need to understand to get yourself from point A to point B. So, you know, I cover all those topics, and then at the end I give some pretty big bonuses. Most importantly, you know, I did this entire presentation at the LA Strength and Performance Nutrition Seminar last year, so you're going to get the entire presentation in a DVD format as well. So it's a pretty expansive manual. It covers everything that I've learned, you know, from the functional anatomy to, you know, the strength aspect of it to the mobility aspect of it, and just put it all together into one solid, comprehensive resource that people can use to get themselves healthy, and if you're a fitness professional, get your clients or your athletes healthy.
Very cool. I know everyone who has already, some people got early sneak peeks of this, and Jimmy Smith was one of them. He was just raving about it and just saying this is probably going to be the greatest thing you can buy this year behind the Livestrong CD-ROM. So can't forget that.
Yeah, it's nice of those guys to say that. I mean, I sent it to people that I highly respect and people that I knew would give me honest and critical feedback. Because, you know, it doesn't do me any good for me to send it to somebody and they say, oh, yeah, this is okay, you know. There's nothing that I would change. You know, I want the guys that are going to say, hey, this is good, but this could be better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I sent it to the guys that I felt were the best, and they gave me some great feedback and made it even better. So, you know, I took my time. It's taken me 6 months to pull this all together, and that's not including the time it took me to get the original presentation together. So, I mean, this is a pretty big project. It's tops out at about 248 pages.
Wow.
So at $99, I think it's a pretty good deal. So you get the manual, you get the DVD, you get the bonuses. So it's not a bad deal. I think people will really appreciate what it does. You know, and I call it bulletproof knees, but really, in a lot of aspects, it's a lower body training manual. Mm-hmm. You know, because if your knees are healthy, chances are everything else in your low body and your hips are working the way they're supposed to. So.
Right.
That's it, man. That's my best sales speech. So.
Well, I mean, before we move on, just so people don't have to stop the recording right now and go check it out, what website can they go to check this out? Is it just at your store? Do you have a special website for it?
I'm going to have a special website for it. You can check it out. Again, it won't be up until I get back from Cancun next week. So it will be just at bulletproofknees.com. But if you're on my website, robertsontrainingsystems.com, just look under the products tab. You can pre-order it now, actually, but, you know, like I said, once it's all set and ready to go, it will have its own website, but however you want to do it, just pick up a copy. I really think it's going to be something that's going to help people not just get healthy, but stay healthy, because, you know, we're all in this fitness thing together, so if I can keep people healthy throughout the course of their training career, then I feel like I've done my job to help them out. So.
Very good. Well, as always, I have links for those in the show notes, so you can always check that out as well. We'll jump into the next question. What is your training approach towards beginner trainees, and more specifically, hard gainers?
What was that last word?
Hard gainers.
Hard gainers, huh? Okay. First off, whoever uses the term hard gainers, I'm going to tell you right now, is already at a psychological disadvantage.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Seriously,
yeah.
That's exactly the truth, because that person already has, in their mind, they're probably thinking anytime they get under the weight, well, I'm a hard gainer, I can't move this amount of weight, or I can't do this amount of weight for this many reps, or I shouldn't be able to use more than X amount of weight, or I shouldn't be able to put on X amount of pounds. First off, get the word hard gainer out of your vocabulary. I absolutely hate it, okay? So get that mental block out of your head immediately, and then start opening up your mind to, okay, this is my goal. You know, I want to get X amount of pounds put on my body as far as lean muscle mass goes, or I want to drive my squat up X amount of pounds. The biggest thing I would get as far as a training approach to a beginner trainee, and I'm not going to say a hard gainer, just a beginning trainee, is first off, I would make sure their mobility is adequate, first and foremost, because that's going to be the precipice of everything else that they do. If they can't get into a deep squat position, then why am I going to load them up and take them into a deep squat position under load? Okay, so first thing, I'm going to make sure their mobility is up to speed. After that, I'm going to make sure their posture and alignment is where it needs to be, because if somebody's, you know, an excessive anterior tilt or excessive posterior tilt, or, you know, their scapula are all screwed up, I'm going to make sure they're biomechanically aligned the way that they should. And then it's just meat and potatoes. You know, obviously the training is always going to be geared towards whatever their goals are. But, you know, the basic lifts, it's amazing. You know, these guys write strength training programs and the guys write fat loss programs. And it's amazing because they're all using the same lifts. I mean, you look at Craig Ballantyne's stuff, you know, squats, deadlifts, bench presses, pull-ups. And then you look at Dave Tate's stuff. I mean, that's the same stuff to get strong. All you do is change the loading, the rest period, and those kinds of things. So, you know, I would just say that first and foremost, get rid of the word hard gainer from your mentality. Take it out of your psyche. Start thinking about, okay, you know, there's no reason if I put X amount of pounds on my squat and, you know, start taking in X amount of more calories per day that I shouldn't put on X amount of pounds of weight. It's got to be results and goal-based. And if you can start doing that, then you get your mobility where you need to be. You get your posture and your alignment where you need to be. And then you just start training hard. Whatever your goal may be, you just have to set the right program in place for you to succeed. So hopefully that makes sense. I know I get on a rant, but, you know, I mean, you got to read the psychology behind that question. You know what I mean? It's more than just a question. If you just would have said, what is your training approach toward beginner trainees, then I would have given him a different answer. But when he classifies himself as a hard gainer, that'd be like as a power lifter, if I just said, what do you do toward a beginner trainee, more specifically somebody who's weak? You know, I've already classified myself. I've already put a ceiling on my results. So if he can get past the psychological aspect first, then the physical stuff will fall into place.
And just so you don't have to go to T-Nation right after this interview and ask the same thing, just lift heavy and eat a lot. So just like we said before.
That's right. That's right. Gallons of milk and 20 rep squats. That's
hell
all
yeah.
it takes.
We'll jump into the next question. In general, how do you assess an exercise's risk-to-benefit ratio and what do you consider to be acceptable? I know this is kind of a hard question to answer, at least it seems to me.
Yeah, when I started thinking about this, first off, it is a great question, you know, because I don't think anybody's ever asked me this before, but it is hard to say, well, I put, you know, X amount of emphasis on this, X amount of emphasis on this. I'm just going to kind of give you what I look at in general, just to give you a basic idea. Like, these are the things that I look at, and then hopefully this will help people think a little bit more critically for themselves. First off, I'm going to look at the person's previous and current injury status. Okay? So if somebody has shoulders that are absolute trash, I'm not going to take them out and put them on a heavy bench press and overhead pressing program. Okay? That's kind of the common sense of it. Okay? So you have to look at your current and past injury status and know kind of what maybe your weak links are. You need to look at it from a biomechanical perspective. All right? So people always ask, well, why are upright rows a bad exercise? And you look at the biomechanics of the exercise. Well, your shoulders are maximally internally rotated, and then you're pulling up. So, you know, if you have any slight chance or predisposition to a shoulder injury, chances are if you do enough upright rows, you're going to have a shoulder injury. So you have to look at the biomechanics of the exercise. And there are certain exercises where you can subtly change the biomechanics and make it a lot easier for somebody, right? So, I mean, somebody could do a bench press with a barbell and have pain, but then you could mix it up and give them a dumbbell and use a neutral grip, so you open up that subacromial space of their shoulder, and all of a sudden, it's a lot more effective exercise. They can do it pain-free. So, you know, you kind of have to look at those things, and then as far as what I consider to be acceptable, you know, that's totally individual. You know, because what's a great exercise for one person is a totally horrendous exercise for another. So, again, you know, looking at the person's injury status, looking at the biomechanics of the exercise, it's on an individual basis. So there are certain people where I will probably never, ever, ever have them, you know, do a overhead press or do an upright row. And there are some people where maybe, you know, in a very certain instance, you could say, okay, I'll do this for a month. And then finally, the last thing you can look at is morphological issues. So beyond just the biomechanics of the exercise and somebody's injury status, there are certain things that predispose people to injuries. So like in shoulder injuries, a type 3 acromion or a beaked acromion is going to leave people at risk for rotator cuff tears. So they're going to have a more limited exercise list for shoulders, whereas somebody that has a type 1 acromion and is perfectly healthy, they could probably get away with overhead pressing and bench pressing every day and never have an issue. So you kind of got to look at it like that. And I know not everybody can go out and get, you know, an x-ray of their shoulder so they know what kind of acromion process they have, whatever. But, you know, if you start to look at it like that, a lot of people, I think, intuitively know what exercises cause them issues. And if they would learn to listen to their body versus pushing through it or ignoring things, I think they'd be a lot better off. So, you know, I hate using this. It's an individual question and answer, and you need to take that into account. What injuries do you have? What is your morphological state as far as what do you have going on with your body that may be different from somebody else's? And then just looking at the biomechanics of the exercise and figuring out, is this a good exercise choice for me? Does it fit into my goals? And kind of going
through. Do you have, like, any, like, say, three exercises that you usually tend to stay clear from for all your athletes?
Yeah, nobody that I work with is ever going to do an upright row. Nobody's ever going to do probably a dip. I know, I mean, I used to do dips all the time, but I just found that they've caused more issues than they're worth. And you said athletes, so, you know, I've broken my own rule with this a little bit because I want kids to get more loading in, but generally in a team setting, I'm not going to do a ton of deadlifting, simply because it's hard to manage 20 athletes and make sure they're all doing it right. I have broken my rule with some of my baseball players that I've been using. You know, I've been squatting them heavy one day and deadlifting them heavy another because I only get them 2 days a week. They need basic loading. They just need to get stronger. And so I think, you know, the particular group that I'm working with is focused enough and technique-oriented enough that I can do it. And they've actually seen really good gains. So, you know, I said I would never deadlift in a group setting, and I am right now. So teach me to never use the word never. But, you know, those three are exercises where I'd have a lot of issue. The first two, I'm just not going to put them into any program. And the third, it's going to be on, you know, an individual basis.
For the first two exercises, the dips and the upright rows, are there any substitutions you would create for those?
You know, with regards to dips, you're basically looking at a compound tricep exercise. So it's tough because certain people have elbow issues, so they don't respond well to extensions. And if you read Bill and I's push-ups, face pulls, and shrugs article, you know that a lot of benching maybe necessarily isn't the best thing for our shoulders either. So, you know, it depends on the person. You can get by with, certain people can get by with cycling extensions in and out of their workout, especially if they mix in easy bar extensions or dumbbell extensions. Or, you know, some people can cycle in some heavy board pressing or lockout type work. I mean, I tell you what, my triceps have never been bigger than I was when I was doing a heavy lockout day on my bench press, you know, because, I mean, it's a heavily tricep-oriented exercise. So, you know, it's all risk-reward, and you got to be smart. And if you're going to do that kind of stuff, you need to know, okay, I'm going to do this for a couple weeks, and then I'm going to back off and just focus on getting things back into alignment.
Absolutely. So. Well, I just had to do that. People have been on my case about saying, oh, that's cool. Are very good at the end of every question, or at the end of every answer. So, just gonna do some give and take right now. But we'll jump into the next question. And he asks, Mike, you've talked a lot about fixing your posture for health and also performance improvement. Another thing that I've heard is a lot is that children should focus on playing and having fun rather than specializing too early. How do you bring those two things together, since fixing one's posture is not really fun, and children usually don't listen when you tell them to stay straight or keep the shoulders back or things like that? Do you have any tricks?
You know, I wish I had a better answer for this, but, you know, I think the biggest issue that we're running into now, and I keep bringing this topic back up, but a lot of kids are starting to have mobility issues. Right. It used to be like 40, 50, 60, people started having mobility issues simply because they weren't moving as much. They got into a job, and they got into a sedentary setting, and, you know, there are certain, you know, tissue factors that come into play, like creep, where your tissues actually shorten and deform. But I think part of the problem is now with kids, we're seeing that, you know. The kids that are playing World of Warcraft for 12 hours at a time, they don't play outside, they don't move. You know, I mean, seriously, these kids are having issues that I think before would be reserved for.
What
like
about the Nintendo Wii? Can they play that? I mean, I just saw an article today online where trainers are actually creating programs for people to use on their Nintendo Wii. How that's kind of lame, but wow. I mean, if you can do it.
Hey, you know, I guess it's all, if you're not doing anything and, you know, getting on your Wii is going to help you exercise a little bit, then more power to you. That's not the route that I would go, but who am I? I'm a little bit old school. But, you know, the big thing is, you know, we always talk about, oh, if you watch a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old, you know, these young kids, they can get into a deep squat, no problem. They can, you know, move and play and get into these great positions. And as we age, we have a tendency to lose that mobility. So the biggest thing is, if we can get kids to just get up and move around more, it's going to make a huge difference. Their posture inherently is going to be better than most, All right, you know, you watch most kids move, they don't have these muscle imbalances that a 40 or 50 year old does. So I don't think we need to necessarily put that into their training program, but we need to focus on maintaining, kind of, for lack of a better term, God's given ability that we have when we're younger. And so if we can get these kids up, get them moving, you know, even if it's a 9 year old, you know, teaching them, okay, I want to teach you to overhead squat. You know, just with a dowel rod or something like that, just to groove that mobility. You know, you can make it fun. You can put it into a warm-up before a sport. That's why a lot of 9- and 10-year-olds, they hate static stretching. You know, they hate it. But if you take them through, you know, some of the magnificent mobility drills where we do like a walking Spider-Man or something like that, that's a little bit more fun. It gets them moving, and it allows them to regain or keep that mobility that they would have lost had they not done it. So the biggest thing is just get them moving, get them working through a full range of motion, and you're just going to keep them a lot healthier throughout the course of their life. Kids are just sitting more and more, and it's obvious. You know, we talk about childhood obesity. It's an epidemic. My wife's going to a seminar here in a couple of weeks. He's just geared towards pediatric age, so 5 to 18-year-old kids. It's about, I mean, when we're talking about three of these kids, they have 1 in 3 of these kids now, up to 1 in 2 kids has an obesity problem between their ages. I mean, it's scary. Get moving, so just get them up, get them moving more, get them more in the range of full range of motion. But you're not only going to keep them healthier, but you're going to keep the weight off as well. So not that really good trick, or I don't know if that's really a big trick or not, but be smart. Get them, you know, just move them, be smart. Get them up, get them moved in.
Definitely. Make sure that your local schools keep gym class in their budget, because it seems like gym class is leaving way too early in kids' lives these days.
It's scary. I mean, we're talking about kids. It's scary. I mean, we're talking about 30 minutes, maybe just 30 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week of exercise. If you've seen what gym class is, you've seen where gym class is, and seen such many times, sometimes.
Oh, it's horrible.
Health class, you know, so they don't move at all. You know, so you don't move at all. Hop them up with sugar and all this stuff throughout the day, and then burn all this stuff throughout the time, and ADHD. That's fine. You know what I mean? How messed up is that? You know, sometimes, you know, messed up. They don't have a way to get better in their energy. They don't have a way to expand. You're going to get them up and get them moving. That's the biggest thing. If we start doing some magic thing, I think it would be amazing that shit would be amazing on the shift and childhood obesity and kind of all these other issues that kids are having.
Yeah, I think that's tough, especially in gym classes. Even if you have that 45-minute or 50-minute block, you're usually spending 5 or 10 minutes of that to get changed to start the class. You have to stretch or do like 5 laps around the basketball court. Then you have to get instructions for the activity. Then you might get, if you're lucky, like when I used to love playing basketball in gym, because I just destroy all the kids in gym, and we'd only be able to get to play for like 15 or 20 minutes of like actual basketball, because again, you get to spend 10 minutes to change at the end of class because you have sweaty kids going into the next class. And
yes,
I don't know, we gotta figure something out for that. Who knows?
Yeah, hopefully we can figure something out here in the next couple of years, because it's not getting better, unfortunately.
No, it's not. We'll jump into the next question. What do you usually recommend for high-intensity interval training to minimize injury?
Again, I guess this kind of comes down to the person's exercise risk-to-benefit ratio. So if somebody has debilitating knee pain, I'm not going to throw them out on the treadmill and make them sprint. You know, so you got to figure out, one, what's doable for the person from an orthopedic standpoint, as well as, B, what they have access to.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, what I've been doing are kettlebell swings, because I have access to it. It's quick. It's easy. I can get my workout done in like 10 minutes, and it's super intense and super brutal, and I just get it done. You know, I'm a power lifter. Anything that involves more than 10 reps is like a mental exercise, counting. So not to mention the lactic acid buildup that starts going on. It's not fun. There's a reason we lift 1 to 3 reps. So, you know, you got to figure out what works for you. Obviously, the more weight-bearing exercises are going to give you more benefit. So if you're on a recumbent bike, you're going to get better benefits from a treadmill. I mean, that's the obvious stuff. And, you know, I like incorporating some of the, like, strongman-type stuff or, you know, kettlebell swings, something like that, just to break up the monotony. I mean, I've never been somebody who goes out and enjoys running. I mean, and this comes from somebody that was forced to run cross-country for 2 years. I mean, it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
So, You know, I mean, I'm just not a runner. I'm heavily biased towards that. But, you know, some people love running. So you have to mesh what works for you from an orthopedic standpoint and what works for you from a facility and just enjoyment standpoint. If you can kind of fuse those together and figure out what works, then that's going to be the right answer for you. So, I mean, everything that I do is individualized. I hate putting anybody into one little... I hate painting them into a corner and saying, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to leave the options open, individualizing the training. And I mean, you know, any program that I write, I mean, there are certain people where their general program is going to look similar. It's going to have the same concepts behind it, but every person's individual. And if you don't, at some level, start individualizing your programming, you're never going to get the kind of benefits that you should.
Absolutely. And before we do go, before we wrap this up, as always, we have to thank our sponsors. First off, Craig Ballantyne and TurbulenceTraining.com. You can also check out his website, TTMembers.com, which is a new subscription base that we've talked about in the past. And also, Designer Supplements. You can check them out at DesignerSupps.com. That's DesignerSupps.com. And give them a look. They're actually giving away some free t-shirts right now, so... I don't know. Check out, get a Designer Supplements t-shirt as well.
Free swag, man. Everybody loves it.
Who doesn't? That's why I go to half the seminars I go to. I just like to get the free goodie bags, you know?
That's right.
Absolutely. But again, before we go, just want to let everyone know that next week will be our one-year anniversary, so we'll be having some great stuff for you. You can always check out thefitcast.com for the show notes, direct downloads. Check us out on iTunes. Don't forget to check out the FitCastInsider.com or the FitCastInsider.com/store for the Bill Hartman interview that will be up on Monday. And I think we're about ready to go. I mean, before we do go, though, Mike, can you just remind everyone where they can check your stuff out and get a hold of you?
Yeah, the easiest place to get a hold of me, check out my primary website, www.robertsontrainingsystems.com. There you can find all my products, all my articles, basically find out anything you want to know about me, and that's also the easiest way to get a hold of me is through the website. Although if you write me in the next 5 days, I'm not going to write you back because I'm going to be working on my pseudo tan in Cancun.
Not bad.
So gotta take care of the wife. Got a birthday coming up, so taking a little vacay.
Very good. Well, again, thanks for joining us, everyone, and for episode number, seems like it's, 44, my name is Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Mike Robertson.
And we'll see you next time. Take care and, you know, just don't eat any chicken McNuggets this week. It's not good for you. And keep it away from the flames as well. No flames. We'll see you all next time. Take care.